Do you ever wonder why there's no power in your life? I mean,
he's assuming you're innocent.
No, I'm not.
You don't have to assume. Yes, I want to.
I mean, here we talk about this stuff, you and all things, and all things, you know, you say what you will, and the mountain's going to jump into the sea. And... Let's go to Acts chapter 4.
Acts 4. Oh, is this that Ananias and Sapphira part?
You really want to hear that before there's proof. That's the last thing you want to hear.
Rub it in. Oh, what a
clean. This Bible doesn't have any acts in it?
No,
it
must have gotten wet, so
it's
pretty clean.
Oh.
Tears.
Yeah.
That was from Ferguson was using that Bible last night.
Oh, yeah.
When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Wait, what verse are you on?
31.
Oh, thank you.
And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, and neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, notice that it doesn't say they had all things in common. They had all things common. Different. Subtle but extremely important difference. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not thine own power? In thine own power, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter had answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. She fell down straight away at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon all, as many as heard these things. It's the least studied scriptures in the Bible that we just read. Least studied scriptures, even less studied than the one that says, you shall travel over sea and land and make one convert, and when he is made, you shall make him twice the child of hell that you are. This is even less studied than that. This is where we get the concept, the excuse, or the seminal reasoning for the concept of dispensationalism. This was for another age. Well, if this is for another age, then so is the power of God for another age, and so is the fear of God for another age. Because it's at this time, when they were doing the asset tithe and the first fruit offering, that some of them that couldn't make the asset tithe or the first fruit offering had to sell the lands that they had. And the reason they were here, this was the Feast of Jubilee in Judaism. All of these people had come back from all over the world. And the Feast of Jubilee happened once. It was the 7 year times 7 year. So it was the 50th year. The year after the 7 times 7. That's why so many people were in Jerusalem during this feast. They were there to come back and claim the ancestral rights to the land that they held. Because it was the title was returned to the owner. No matter how many times it had been bought and sold, for how much debt occurred, on the 50th year, it was all returned title-free to the genetic owner of the land. In other words, the family. So, in the Christian church, as in Judaism, when a new convert came in, he had to make an asset tithe. If a Gentile joined the church, a synagogue, he came in and he made an asset tithe of 10% of all that he owned. Well, and now we got all these guys that have just gotten all this land because they came back for the Feast of Jubilees. And they came in, it's a new community, it's a new system, they have to make an asset tithe. They evaluate the value of the land. They say, my God, I don't have any money. I can't pay that. I just got it. And so they sold it in order to pay the asset tithe. The church never had all things in common, i.e. like communism or some of the communes, but it was, which that's where they get this from, but they did have the requirement, the cutting of all ties, that when you came into this new way of thinking, that it required you to affirm before witnesses that everything that you owned to that point was God, was belonged to God, because you desire to escape from the system, and the affirmation of that was up to 10% of it was given. And the first fruit offering was decided upon by the elders in each church, because it's a cultural thing. If you're all farmers, then the first fruit offering would be something else. In this culture, the board here, is the elders have decided the first fruit offering is 1/52. Now, the predicate of this is that none thought that anything that they had was their own. Nothing they had was their own. Not their problems, not their debt, not their assets, not their talents. Because they saw with a clarity that now they were the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God in his wisdom, it had to be stamped, sealed, so that the fear could be seen, so that the fear of God would be the beginning of wisdom to that body of people. In the same way that when the sperm cell enters the egg, there's instantly this some kind of a chemical solution. It surrounds the egg instantly so that it's protected. Well, that's the same thing that was happening here. And it puts, in the spirit, it's if you can imagine that poor little sperm cell that's just got swallowed up by the egg, I mean, he's in great fear. And the sperm cells that are around the egg are in great fear, if they could think. And the reason is God now is protecting. He's doing something different than has ever been done before. And the thing that surrounds that egg is the fear of God. We still, no matter how hard the preaching, no matter how much you've seen, no matter how many vistas and mountaintops you've been on, you still individually are of the opinion that what you have here, your problems, your dreams, your ambitions, are your own. Now, this sounds like blasphemy to say something like this in America. This is the land of opportunity, the individual right, where you can have a personal relationship with God. Well, not here you can't. I don't care if you go or stay, but if you come here, you can no longer, it'll cost you everything. You must needs have all things in common. Not because God needs anything, or I need anything, or the Levites need anything, but it's the test of whether or not you believe. So the time of the asset tie, the first fruit offering, is it's the renewal. It's just like the reason that the feasts are scheduled over and over. It's the renewal. It's a point in time in which everything becomes crystalline. I desire, and I pray that you do, that this be a body of people that have nothing between them and the face of God. To do that cost you your life. So, now let's go to Deuteronomy 26. Now, 26. What's going on?
She's
calling you. Oh. You dying?
I just can't stop laughing.
Oh.
It's not quite like
that. And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein. Now, you got to come. I mean, either I'm absolutely crazy or this is right. I don't believe, I know, that that's not some stupid piece of property somewhere on the face of the earth. The fact is, when you are come into the land, means that when you recognize that this land, this earthen vessel, now belongs and is given back on this Feast of Jubilee, or to the rightful owner, namely Christ, you've lost the right to yourself. Okay, God's, okay, you remember what I'm saying? Okay, I've lost the right to myself. I'm not going to be a Lone Ranger for Jesus. Well, God says, no. God says, we're going to pour some acid on that affirmation. That thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket. The fruit of the land. It's the fruit of this being, this land, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it before the altar of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. Again, this is just the completion of this metaphor. This is a picture of you, the true you, never left the promise. This is because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's born into this world under assumed name, and you try to get it all right. Then everything fails. And then you're back here. This is where you desire to be in the promise, where you live without fear, where you live only by grace, where you live without reward and punishment. The world, evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. When we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked upon our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders, and hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. The spiritual meaning of milk and honey is Torah and Revelation. Torah meaning the Word and Revelation. The Word and Revelation. And behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And that's where we are. And that's what this little memos about. One of the great scriptures of all time is in 1 Corinthians 14.
From all these greatest hits.
If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
That's what I'm calling
it. What? Where does it say that?
I've often lived by that. Where is it? What verse? I need to know.
Verse 38.
Very But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
I just said that.
Well, he's ignorant. Let him be ignorant.
It's like...
like you're doomed to hell.
What on earth does that mean?
Does that mean...
It's talking about spiritual things and spiritual gifts. And that's what the whole chapter, 14th chapter, is about. And that's what we're going to study. I just like that verse. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. When I was on the radio a lot, I got more letters than I can believe saying essentially the same thing, and that was, you're saying stuff that I've known all my life, but I've never heard anybody else say. And in here I tell you over and over and over again that I can't tell you anything new. I can only tell you something that you already know. Now, that's hard for us to accept or believe. It's hard for you to imagine that within you, you already know all things. And that the only thing that's causing the all things from being made manifest in your consciousness is idolatry. That's a hard, difficult thing to ever come to grips with, because it flies in the face of everything that you have ever learned. It takes away all of your righteousness. It takes away all of your class consciousness. And so the stuff that I'm going to talk to you about tonight, about first fruit offerings, you already know. You understand a little bit? The reason I said that is because it says, if it doesn't, it's not strong enough in English, but in the Greek, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. I declare that which I preached. Another clause, which you had previously already received. Not from another man. It's like Paul said, that which I speak unto you is not after man, for I received it not of man, neither did I learn about it from man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The same is true in every man. by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Remember in Jeremiah, where it says, why do you gad about so much to change your ways? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, it's a small thing that I be judged of you, for I judge not mine own self. Therefore judge nothing before the time. Can you imagine what it would be like if you could stop judging yourself? You must have all had brief moments of that sometime in your life. Where there was absolutely no comparison of what someone had told you or you thought you should be, where you just simply lived. I am what I am by the grace of God. You live. You live because your sin is forgiven. You live because you're a new creature. You live because there is nothing in the face of the world, of this earth, that can stop the power of the resurrection, i.e. the first fruit. I mean, any time that the propensity comes into your mind to say, I should be different than I am, that's the lie. I should have more than I have, it's a lie. I should have less than I have, it's a lie. It's only the really spiritual ones that think that.
No, I have lots of shit. Yeah,
Jackie.
I'm not sure
why. I mean, remember in the Psalms of, I mean, the Hallel and John Targum, that thing, that a swarm of bees within my brain, and just bzz, 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 and every one of them is saying, "You should be different than you are. You should be this. You should be that. You should have more. You should have less. You should be." Here, let's just see. There's a mystical cord tied to the mercy seat. Even if you're not on it, even if you don't know you're not on it, but even that mystical cord is coming into your consciousness and giving you moments, slices of time when you just be. Now, that is what, if there was nothing else said, I mean, why in the God's name would anybody care whether or not you failed the orals and were a stupid shit and just really bad and you did terrible unless you thought you shouldn't? Do you understand? Why would it make any difference whether, you know, you were in debt $500 billion? Except that you think you shouldn't be. I mean, can you taste what it must feel like for a bird to be free and flying, or for a lily to be growing? And it just is. that it never has to be anything other than what it is at this instant? It doesn't judge what it's going to be someday. It doesn't care what it was in the past. It just is. Well, that's the promise, if you can apprehend the meaning of the first fruit offering. Now, you got to understand the reason you don't want that. There's this whole arena of your brain that doesn't want that. This whole glob of stuff, this gray thing up there, and it's really ugly, and it's sitting up there, and it just loves to beat you up.
Yeah.
Huh? And then God comes in and it says, and he says, and you hear him say, and then you say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And it doesn't matter what Oli says. Doesn't matter what my brain says. Doesn't matter what my parents say. Doesn't matter what anybody says. I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God, the grace of God is the resurrection. Stop a minute and think. Every definition that you've had of the way you thought things should be up to this point that you've lived through has been cast aside. It's been left back there somewhere. I mean, I can give you a whole bunch of them you had when you were little kids. You thought you should be this or that. Well, and then there's all these other ones over here that are from your parents or your bosses or her, but mostly from your parents.
Or sweethearts.
And then there's a whole others, I mean, that are defined by the society, and it's and so you're inundated by these little definitions and they're meaningless. Not one of them is right. Not even the religious ones.
Maybe especially.
The only thing I know to do is to talk about compare. I mean, you've heard me talk about it before, but in my wildest dreams, I could never have conceived that what I'm doing now was of any value. I mean, where in the hell do I get the right to cause people to do an asset tax, for instance?
A very good question.
Where in the world do I get the right to cause people to have to sit down and go through a hot seat?
Better.
What?
Better question.
It's given.
I can see taking the bread. I can see a hot seat thing.
Yeah, but I don't use the bread. I don't get any benefit from it.
That's because you're stupid. Don't blame it on me. The hot seat thing.
Where in the world do I get the right to come around and now and say, okay, you have to give me a first 1 week salary. I mean, that's stupid.
Huh. I tried that line. Yeah. When did you try? All time.
It's
not every year.
Round about this time. I'm not that rich.
Or where in the world did I ever get the right? I mean, you know, I had great plans for myself. This isn't in my plans.
your career path?
You just got lucky.
This is not, none of this.
You should have been the guy we were writing to for the, what is it, the thing that Dallas Project's trying to get?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the guy that we should have been writing to get it.
Yeah.
Buckaroos.
Yeah. Nothing that I have conceived, that I thought that I wanted, or thought that I should be, nothing am I. There's nothing in my own experience that gives me the idea that this lifestyle that I'm now in and a part of is desirable. Nothing. I hate people's problems. I mean, I really hate people's problems. I don't want to know. Don't talk to me anymore. I don't want to know what they are. I have less compassion than Housewright or Daryl does.
Yeah, by comparison, we're okay.
I could redefine myself.
I had a penthouse apartment, so I'd be really way up high, and so I could surround myself only with beautiful people.
And no dorks.
No dorks.
Yeah, really. Yeah, our ears out straight
up. I like the doctor more all the time.
Pointy heads and
really
flappy ears.
Really anything to do with anybody that failed their oral thing on.
I've had a lot to do with women that failed their orals.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
You're right.
You're right.
You're right. You're right. You're right. You have no
idea. This is the first time I've ever gone over that. Oh, you're right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no,
that.
Gary, we threw all the
Oh, somebody go get him. I'm feeling kind of sorry.
Yeah, Rick, go
May
get him.
May 4th, 1989. Oh, like, is out of here.
Extra.
You can come back now.
What did he say?
Ollie, you can come back now.
Wait, what's it look like? Did you see anything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I had to do it.
Yeah. He was halfway down the street.
Well, did you see anything? Looked
pretty attractive out there.
Well,
I'm
trying to do the ritual.
Did you see
anything?
Did
you see
anything?
Alright.
Dirt.
Put away your list.
You can't tell Harry this.
You gotta get on the tape.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we repeated it. Just to make sure we said once again, but
God.
But a mystery took place in my life. And absolutely nothing that I thought I wanted did I get. I got everything that I thought I didn't want, and I have more joy than I know what to do with. I think of myself as the most fortunate of people on the face of the earth. I had all of the same things that a lot of you are still struggling with, career objectives, and satisfying of relatives. I just went away. Guilt and self-condemnation when I went busted. I lost $5.5 million in 1 week. Talk about shame. But it's all because the joy that was manifested and the reality that took place was because of the first fruit offering that Christ made. And I know that I'm truly free. And the only thing I desire from you is to know, for you to know, that you're also totally free. Including free from me. And that is the meaning of the first fruits. Now, the period between Passover and Pentecost is the period that you have to know, you can know intellectually that Christ was the first fruit offering. At Pentecost, you will be the first fruit offering. As he is in this world, so are we. It doesn't matter about all this stupid language and words. It's something that can only speak to your heart. And your heart will define your own freedom. And we have all these little things we talk about, all these complicated feasts and complicated offerings and complicated... But all it is it's views of this one very, very, very simple act. From 1,000 different directions. 100,000 different directions. That Christ is resurrected from the dead in you. And you're free. You don't have to try to follow anybody's rules. You don't have to follow anybody's anything. The life you now live in the flesh, you live by his faith. Not even your faith, not your understanding. But the secret of it is, and it's so simple, is that any time your mind or any other thing in the face of the earth says that you are to be different than you are at that instant, you can know it's a lie. Amen?
Amen.
I had all kinds of neat stuff I was going to talk about tonight.
But instead you chose to talk about this lame subject.
Yeah, like, we're disappointed. Don't let it happen again.
I'll taste that freedom. Anything else is a lie. Once you taste it, nothing on the face of the earth will ever satisfy that you again. Because you've eaten the food that even angels desire and can't have.
Well, that's something nobody else has told me.
Part of this is a certainty that you can never again fail or never again make a mistake. Never again make a mistake. You can never again fail. you can do nothing against the truth. All you can do is complete, slowly but surely, see more of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear to our senses what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath that singular hope in himself automatically purifieth himself, even as He is pure. No matter what it looks like, from God's standpoint, you're automatically purifying yourself. You're always moving towards the moment of being conformed to the image of Christ. Now, the image of Christ is really pretty religious sounding. You're automatically being conformed to the deepest desire that you have. With no effort on your part. What we're moving towards, the Feast of Pentecost. In the Hebrew, it's Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks. But the day itself, by the rabbis, is called Azeret. And Azeret means cessation, finished. Speak comfortably unto my people, and say unto them, your warfare is now accomplished in quietness, and then that slow, easy confidence, you shall be saved. I have been young, and I have been old, and I have never seen that righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. Now you can despise the shame. I will take you one of a city, two of a family, and bring you to Zion. And there I shall give you pastors which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding according to my heart. Once you taste of that, you can never taste anything else. Now, whatever burden it is, whatever consideration it is, just cast it off, let it go. Your destiny and your heritage is freedom. More freedom than you've ever dreamed of. Even freedom from death. And save me, O God, for the waters are come up into my soul. I'm sinking in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into the deep waters, and the floods are overflowing me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Please now hear me, O God, for thy loving kindness is good. Please turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. I am poor and sorrowful, but now, Father, let thy salvation set me on high. Then I will praise your name with a song and will magnify you with thanksgiving. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. The truth is that you were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. And there's been a usurper on this land called with. And now it's time for him to rise up within you. Now I will arise, saith the Lord. You've always known that you weren't part of this stuff. You weren't part of all that crap out there. So rest. Enjoy the ride. I know there's a component in you that wants to take the control back. But while you're doing it, grow an inch. Or release the right enzymes to digest the food you had tonight. And control, the image of control has been a lie all your life. You've never been in control. Amen. You've just been a modicum of control in a very narrow little space. Now your horizon has been expanded. But it's been easy to be, you know, in the land of the blind, a one-eyed man is king. I mean, as long as your horizon was where you didn't have to ever show yourself to anyone, then you can maintain the illusion internally of control. But you've never been in control. You've never really wanted control.
The problem is everybody is shot out of that can, but not a lot of them have any place to land.
Yeah, I mean, what you've said, the only reason that we have any kind of empathy is because we've all been through it. We've all found ourselves in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Just
flat out.
Blown away. Laid leather.
Mm-hmm.
No, it just depends on what day of the week you run into this pillar.
Got a bunch of pillars of faith.
Yeah. Rock hard, rock solid.
What kind of pillars of faith?
Okay, take a big guy.
Yeah. See you later, Harry.
Bye, Harry.
You should have been here, Harry.
Hey, Harry, what should we do about our little sister?
Hope you didn't screw up too bad.
Hey, Harry,
really.